The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
We come to the next verse there that speaks of the kingdom of God and experiencing what Jesus intended for us to experience in his kingdom. We read in Matthew the 5th chapter and verse 5. He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now notice that this follows the first two declarations, which are, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And basically what he is saying here, as we understand the word blessed, means happy. It also can mean congratulations. He is saying, congratulations, you conquered the world. Now that doesn't really make natural sense to us when we think about the meek. And we want to talk about what it means to be meek this morning. We should never forget those that have gone before us, and we should continually think back and remind ourselves. And I've said this before, and I think that those of you that remember Brother Rayford will agree with me. What a meek, godly man Brother Rayford Duren was. Y'all remember Brother Rayford? He's been gone for several years. But I mention his name as a testimony to meekness. And we would look at Brother Rayford and we would say, well, he's very meek. Now, in his later years, we would also say he was a weak and somewhat sickly man because he got older, as Brother Neil described. But I want you to understand that meekness is not weakness. It's not weakness. Now, the world would say, congratulations to the aggressive, for they've conquered the world. Congratulations to the up and coming. Congratulations to the ones that understand what it means when you say, well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and if you're the biggest dog, well, then you conquer the world. Well, think back through history about how that worked out for some people that actually tried to conquer the world. You know, Hitler tried to conquer the world. Where is he? I don't think anybody would have called him blessed, that's for sure, as maniacal and evil in his approach as he was. But Napoleon tried to conquer the world. The Romans thought they had conquered the world, and in a sense, they did for a period of time. But where's the Roman government today? You know, where's Napoleon's empire? Where is Hitler's Third Reich? You know, where are these places that seem like they would never end and would just go on and on? They inherited the earth. They took over the earth. And everybody said, congratulations, you've won. Well, where are they today? What is the sense in which we, as if we are the meek of the world, the meek of the earth, how do we inherit the earth? Let's talk about that. You know, the world says, if you read down through verse 3, 4, and 5, the world would say, blessed are the filthy rich, for theirs is anything they want. The world would say, blessed are those that are emotionally happy and high on happiness all the time. For they're the ones that have got it made. The world would say, blessed are the aggressive and the self-confident ones who can take over the world or take over whatever it is they're trying to take over. But here is the thing about that. When somebody aggressive and self-confidence and one of these that's going out to take over the world or to take over the business or to climb the ladder or whatever, you know, they may do that. They may do that. They may climb the ladder. They may step on everybody to get there. And they may get exactly what they're after. But you know what? They're doing it for themselves. You see? When we as the meek inherit the earth, as he describes right here, there is another element involved. And it is this. This is the element. You have taken yourself off of the throne and view Jesus on the throne instead of yourself on the throne. The self-confident and the aggressive and those that are, you know, go-getters and the movers and the shakers, they are sitting on their throne. It is their throne and it belongs to them. And as Jesus says later in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, they have their reward. They have it. But this is something quite different. Later years, there was a Johnny Cash song that I loved. It was called Hurt. And there's a line in there that I never forget. And he was almost gone when he did this song. And there's a little stanza in there that says, and you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. I love that line. He said, well, it's kind of depressing, but it's the truth. Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I leave. I will take nothing with me when I go. Y'all have heard me tell the story of, you know, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul headed to the graveyard. Well, I've told you this story before. We were traveling up north once on one of the history trips we've taken with the Mosses before, and I was driving that 15-passenger van, and we were pulling a U-Haul, and we were headed to Valley Forge, and little narrow interstates up there, three-lane interstates, and I'm just trucking along, and I'm preaching, of course. You know, we're talking this, and I'm just, you know, hand expressions, preaching as we're going. And I noticed we were going past these cars really fast, a line of cars. And when I got up to the front, it was a hearse. And it was a funeral procession. They were doing about 45 miles an hour out there on the interstate. And I'm in the inside lane. And all of a sudden, they don't give you much notice up there. And it said, 50 feet, lane ends. So I don't have any choice other than to muscle my way into that funeral procession. And I was right behind the hearse. So it was a hearse being followed by a 15-passenger van, which was pulling a U-Haul. That's about as close as you can get to seeing a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And Brother Harold was laid flat. I don't know why we didn't know those folks, but he was laid flat. He didn't want anybody to see him. I said, "They don't know you, Brother Harold." And so we got out, and man, I boogied on down the road when we could get out and get gone. You're not going to take anything with you when you go. And I want you to understand, this right here is not saying one day in heaven is when you're going to inherit the earth. You inherit the earth right now. Is that not the spirit of what he said here? I mean, who is poor in spirit in heaven one day? We're poor in spirit here on this earth. Who is mourning in heaven? All tears shall be wiped away. And who are the meek here on this earth? You see, it's a now application. Yes, there is a sense that it's coming for sure. But brothers and sisters, as the meek, you inherit the earth now. Let's talk about that. It involves dethroning yourself from the throne and seeing Jesus there. Look at Zechariah 12 and 10, because I want you to get the big overall picture of what he is talking about here. Zechariah 12 and 10 gives you an overall picture of what's going on and what he's saying here in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, not the prideful and lifted up and arrogant in spirit, but blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are they that mourn, not mourning because you didn't get your way, but mourning over your own personal sins and mourning over the sin that affects you around you that Brother Neil has so adequately presented to us here this morning. Sin affects you in every way. I was sitting there thinking when he was describing that about moving to Montana, I think I'll just stay in Alabama and get a little bit of the offshoot of the hurricane and a little bit of the cold from up north. What about y'all? Let's just stay in Alabama, okay? You know, you just can't get away from this. You say, "Well, we'll move to Hawaii." Let me tell you, you'd live over there for 6 months and the taxes would be so high on your land that you'd go in the poorhouse trying to pay them. Because that's a whole other element there, isn't it? Listen, this is the overall picture of what Jesus is portraying in the Sermon on the Mount. Zechariah 12 and 10. Listen to what he says. "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications." Can't you see the Lord with a big bucket of grace and supplications that he just pours out? How does he do that? He says, "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son." You remember I told you last week that mourning there where one is mourning, it is the severest kind of mourning that has to do when you lose a loved one. And right here is that same image given. He says, "They will look upon me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for me as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." The general picture that he's trying to convey here is that there will come a time in history when the Lord would reveal some things and he would show some things to us so that we could mourn when we see what Jesus went through on the cross. We weren't there physically. We weren't standing there at the foot of the cross, but we can see him by the eye of faith through the preaching of the gospel, through the singing of hymns and psalms, and through prayer and study of the word of God. You can look upon him whom they pierced by the eye of faith and mourn over what had to happen to him, because that's the only way you're getting into heaven, because of what he did. That's the general picture. To be poor in spirit means that you see what he had to do. And to mourn means you mourn over the fact that he had to do it for me and for you. And then that leads us, I'm not saying the entire Beatitudes here are a progression, but it does lead us to a general emptiness. And that's part of meekness. You know, an unworthiness, a feeling as though I don't deserve anything and I possess nothing.
And yet in that feeling, in that understanding of I just don't deserve to possess anything, he says, you inherit the earth. That's a paradox, isn't it? The word meek here means to be mild. When I read the definition of this, you know, I've told you about those little hands that come out of the Bible. I've got hands that come out of the Bible like this when I'm reading sometimes. And I'm reading and they go, boom, they just slap me back and forth. I know that looks silly, but I hope it makes a point. I got hands in my Bible. Does your Bible have that? Does your Bible have hands? Sometimes my Bible has hands and it goes like that. Sometimes it'll ball up a fist and just go kapunk, and I got a bloody nose. Oh, does your Bible do that to you? I'll let you borrow mine sometime. Because if you're reading it in the spirit of being poor in spirit and in the spirit of mourning, those hands will come out of that Bible and just start popping you around and beating you around a little bit. And you say, well, that's terrible. No, it's good. Because that's conviction in the heart of the child of God. As I was really looking at this about being meek, and I was looking at the definition, it means not drastic. It means to operate gently, not severe or cruel. Did you know meek right here is one of the fruit of the Spirit? It says Galatians 5 and 23. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It comes from God. Not fierce, not rough, not angry. You know, a prideful person who's all filled up with themselves, they will admit no wrong. But a meek person, whenever you commend them, they will admit no right. Oh, it was nothing, Brother Tim. I just did what I was supposed to do. You get it? You can't convince a prideful person that they're wrong. But when a meek person does what's right and good and godly, you know, they don't even want a pat on the back. They don't even want to admit that they did anything good because they see what they are and that the only goodness that they have within them is what God has placed there. We associate meekness with weakness. It's a natural thought process to do that. But I want you to know that he's not saying here, blessed are the victims and blessed are the wimps. He's not saying that. Y'all remember, you know, I go back to my comic book days. Y'all remember mild-mannered Clark Kent? From the comics, he had the glasses on, you know, and he would just kind of seem to be sort of just a push around. Lois would say something ugly to him. The editor of the Daily Planet would say something ugly to him. He just shrugged it off. But he was really Superman. He had the power within him to bring out his aggressiveness. And he did on a lot of supervillains, didn't he? I know it's fiction, but I love it. I'm a comic book fan. But mild-mannered Clark Kent there in the Daily Planet, and he goes out and he saves the world time and time again. He inherits the world. I think that makes a good point about meekness. He was meek, but he certainly wasn't weak. He was the strongest man on the planet. You know, the passive side of meekness is, did you know this? I just want you to get this. The passive side of meekness where you say, well, somebody that's meek is kind of passive. You know what it is? It's long-suffering. That is the passive side of meekness. And if that's not a quality that we need to appreciate in God himself, then my goodness. He says in 1 Peter, it says in 2 Peter, the second chapter, that the Lord is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any of his children should perish, but they all should come to repentance. All of God's children will come to him because he's long-suffering. He will draw them to him. And he's not coming back, brothers and sisters, until that last heir of promise is drawn to him in spiritual birth. And then it's over with. I'm glad the Lord is long-suffering. Being meek, the passive side is long-suffering. The active side of meekness is love. Understand me? I don't just mean that good, gooey, ooey-gooey feeling, you know, oh, I'm in love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about love in action. It is acting. That is the active side of meekness. It is love. And I'll tell you this, if being meek is doing nothing, then Jesus sure missed the boat, didn't he? Because he says in Matthew 11 and 29, if you want to look there, just a few chapters over, he says this about himself in Matthew 11 and 29. Very popular verse of Scripture. Very well known, very little understood. Matthew 11. I want to start reading verse 25 so you get the context here. Jesus is mourning over the condition that he sees around him. He says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me. Who is that going to be? Those to whom God has revealed himself to. See? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest. The idea that's given here is someone who has conquered the world, and there's no other mountains to climb, there's no other valleys to go through, there's no other nations to conquer, and they do what? They rest from their conquering. That's the picture that's given here. To learn of Him, to be meek and lowly. I'm telling you right now, if you ever want to see a picture of strength under control, it's Jesus Christ. That's what meekness means, is strength under control. Several years ago, back when I was playing ball in college, my sophomore year, and I'm giving you a negative example here, okay? Brother Wells has heard this. He heard it on Friday. But I'm giving you a negative example. When I was playing ball in college, my sophomore year, I was finally getting in a game. We were far enough ahead at the end of the game to let a scrub like me go in. And so second game of the season, playing a team out of Tennessee. We were winning 28-9. They sent in McCool, play wide receiver. McCool goes in, first play he's ever been in college. This is historic for McCool's because there's never been a McCool that played college in sports before that I know of. You know, that's a little personal throne thing, you know. So I go in, and we had a little Cajun quarterback over there, and he was cocky and short and thought he was all that, you know. And so here I just knew he wasn't going to throw it to me. I knew he was going to turn it and run, and sure enough, he did. I was wide open 20 yards down the field. Could have got 20-yard gain. Little Cajun tucked it and ran. I turned and blocked for him. He gets 10 yards. We could have got 25 or more. Who knows? So play's blown dead. Cajun guy's laying on the ground. Somebody tackled him. I'm standing right above him. And some guy with some kind of bee in his bonnet or angry at the world comes right in behind me right after the whistle, knocks me winding at the feet of the coach, the head coach. I lay down, I look up, and I see my head coach looking down at me. And, of course, I did the only thing that my nature dictated me to do, and that was to jump up and start slugging the guy as hard as I could. You know, he hit me in the back. I got to have my rights. I got to get it. I got to show that I'm aggressive. And they ejected me out of the game. Can y'all believe that? So when you go to the halls of the NCAA, the great record halls of all of the great athletes that have lived, and you go back to that little back broom closet corner where they have the little plaque that says, here are those that were kicked out of their first college play, their first college game. You might find my name. It's because I wasn't meek. I was not meek. If I'd have been meek, you know, I'd have just got up and we'd have got a penalty. We got another 15 yards, you know, and we could have maybe gone on down. I might have got another pass, and I might have got some more plays in. I got ejected. Why? I didn't have my strength under control. It wasn't much strength, but I didn't have it under control. You see, meekness is strength under control. Did you know that this quote here by Jesus, this statement by Jesus, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, it is a direct quote from Psalms 37. Turn there if you would, please. Psalms 37. It's a direct quote. And I want you to understand, Psalms 37, this is like an illumination of Matthew 5. In Psalms 37 down through verse 11, that's what we're going to look at real quick. I want you to understand that what you have in those first 11 verses are descriptions of meekness, strength under control. Now watch this. Let's go down, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. To be envious against evildoers means that you are not meek. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, that's meekness, and do good, that's a description of meekness. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Notice the language, inherit the earth, dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, that's meekness, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You say, well, Brother Tim, I hadn't got that girlfriend or that boyfriend or that my desire. You know, the Disney movie told me to pursue my dreams and to follow my heart. And I just ain't got it yet. Well, I'm going to tell you something else. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You better be careful that the desires of your heart are in harmony with God's word and God's heart. Amen? He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. That is meekness. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. You remember what we just read in Matthew 11:29? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. For I am meek and lowly. Come and learn of me, and you will find rest to your souls. That's meekness. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Are you angry at the people in America, or maybe the politicians, or maybe the president, or who you wish was president or wasn't president? Are you angry? He says, cease from anger and learn meekness. Come to Jesus and learn it. And bring yourself down to where you need to be and get rid of that anger and that frustration. You say, well, it may mean that I can't watch any more television. Then turn it off right now. Turn it off and come and see where you can learn from Jesus. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Here's a person that's so angry that they're so upset that people are not doing what they want to do, that they're just going to go and do it themselves. Are they going to fix those people? He says, you're not going to get anywhere. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Okay, how do we inherit the earth? I've got 4 minutes to describe that to you. Hebrews, the first chapter and the second verse, you don't have to turn there, says that God has made Jesus the heir of all things. Romans 8 tells us that we, if we have the Spirit of God within us, that we are made joint heirs with Christ. So as Jesus is the heir of all things, of this earth, of heaven itself, He is the Son, He is the heir. And we are joint heirs with Him. That means that we, in conjunction with Jesus being the heir, we are the heirs of all things too, you see? So we inherit the earth in that way. You say, well, Brother Tim, I thought you said the earth is going to be burned up. It is, but I want you to understand that while you're here in this earth and while you are enjoying the blessings of God in this earth, that you inherit the earth in this sense. Number one, Jesus has overcome it. Number two, it's through meekness. That's how you inherit the earth. That's a duh moment, isn't it? I mean, that's exactly what he just said. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let me give you some examples of meekness. Hannah, in 1 Samuel 2 and 8, one of the meekest women you'll ever meet. How did she inherit the earth? She had a very difficult home situation, did she not? People angry at her every single day. And through God Himself and the deliverance of God, she was able to disinherit those that were wicked and inherit the earth in the sense her possession was in God. You know when her turning point came? She was bulimic. She had an eating disorder. And you know when her turning point came? It's when she went to the house of God and she got the message from the man of God. Another man that you can think about who inherited the earth in this sense, in the sense of meekness, he was a meek man, was Abraham. And whenever Lot did what he did, and all of Lot's herders and the sheep herders were causing the fuss between Abraham and Lot, you know what Abraham did? That meek man who could have spanked Lot. He could have destroyed Lot. He could have said, get out of here. He took Lot to the hillside as a meek man, one that had his strength under the control. And he said, Lot, choose which way you will go. We be brethren. We shouldn't fuss. So you go this way, I'll go that way. You go the other way, I'll take a different route. That's meekness. He inherited the earth and he never stopped loving Lot. What about Moses? It says Moses was the meekest man of all those on the face of the earth, and God met him face to face and talked with him. What about David in 1 Samuel 24 when Saul came into the cave to take a nap there, and David's men were lying the side of the cave, and the men said, God's delivered you into his hands. You can now destroy him and kill him. He's been trying to kill you. And David went up and he just cut a piece of the garment off of Saul's garment, and his heart smote him over just doing that. And he said, I can't stick out my hand to destroy the Lord's anointed. God hadn't delivered him in my hand for me to do this. David had the power to do it, to destroy his enemies, to be aggressive and kill them. And he stepped back and he let him go. What about Jesus? You'll never find a meeker example than Jesus. The strength to say 10,000 legions of angels. He could have just whispered it. He could have said, go. He could have thought it and said, now. And you know what he said? First of all, did he have the strength to do it? Amen. And you know what he said? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's meekness, brothers and sisters. You can put on meekness. You can practice it. Colossians 3 and 12 says to put on meekness. You ever practice tying your shoes, kids? I know when I was little, I did. When I was little, I practiced tying my shoes. You can practice putting on meekness. Children, especially teenagers, you know, people say it's got to be horrible whenever it's going to be horrible when your kids are teenagers. It's going to be horrible because there is a sense of, yeah, we teenagers sometimes think, well, they know it all. When they figure out later, if God blesses them, they figure out after a while they don't know it all. We've all felt that way. But understand that a way to bring peace is meekness. Doesn't mean that you don't have the right and the demand your right to go here, go there, do this, do that. But if that parent says, I would prefer that you do this, or I think it's best to do this, you don't stamp your foot down and say, oh, well, everybody else is going. Everybody else is doing it. You put on meekness. You practice it. If you don't practice putting it on, you'll never have a chance to put it on. You won't have a chance to put it on. So you practice meekness. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking about natural brothers, natural sisters in the house with each other. Are you practicing meekness? Are you demanding your right? Are you being aggressive and saying, it's mine, get away from it, I want it, it's mine? See, it goes all the way down into the home, practicing meekness. I close with Zephaniah. Yeah, Zephaniah. Y'all ever heard of that one? It's in the Bible. It is. It's in there. I had to mark it myself so I would know exactly where it is. So I'm right there with you. Zephaniah 2. Chapter 2, it's right before Zechariah, by the way. And he says this in verse 3. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. What is the sense in which we possess the earth? We inherit the earth whenever we are meek. Here it is. Here it is now. Get it. Don't forget it. When you put on meekness, and you keep your strength under control, and you practice non-aggressiveness, but acting in love, then you have just inherited the earth with that person you are dealing with. That, I trust, would be a child of God that you're dealing with. You have inherited the earth with them. You have inherited them. You are joint heirs with them. And you are identifying with what God has put in their heart. When you practice meekness, when you put it on, and you experience that in the situation you may be in, you are inheriting the earth, putting on meekness, and you're conquering. Congratulations. You just conquered the earth. Hannah conquered the earth. She put on meekness. Abraham conquered the earth. Whenever he did that with Lot, he put on meekness. Moses conquered the earth. He saw God face to face. David conquered the earth when he didn't smash his enemies. And Jesus, praise God, conquered the earth and the universes by putting on meekness. You know, I've experienced that firsthand when I go to Africa or when I travel the country and preach to different children of God, different places. I experience inheriting the earth. Because there's brothers and sisters in Africa, there's brothers and sisters in California, there's brothers and sisters in North Carolina, there's brothers and sisters in Mississippi, and they are children of God, and I interact with them, and I am inheriting the earth with them when I experience them individually. Don't miss that. To experience one another in this life is what Jesus intended for us to find rest in, and the rest can only come through putting on meekness. Practice it. Practice that strength under control. Practice the passive part of it, which is long-suffering. Practice the active part of it, which is acting in love. May the Lord bless us.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.